Savior, oh Lord, hear my humble cry. Oh, while no others are watching,
calling, calling, my Lord.
Saints. Thanks very much, musicians. God bless you this evening, Saints.
Hallelujah.
Looks like we the ones have to keep the fire burning while the others can't come. We've always got to have people that keep the thing going. I remember once, I was speaking the other day with Brother David about it, when we first started in Fur House and Brother Tommy was coming and preaching on Saturdays. And we once had a service and there were only three of us there. Myself, Brother Christian and Sister Scheider. Everyone else was at work or different places. And Brother Tommy came with another brother. He still preached his message. We still had a good service. And he said that. He said that day. He says, someone's got to keep the fire burning. So that's a real truth behind it. So let's open our Bibles. Isaiah 55. Let's read 10 and 11. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. We just get a thought from there and from Romans chapter 8. Verse 10, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, so it comes down from heaven, yeah, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Amen. My, it's a powerful promise, saints. Let's also read Romans 8, verse 14. Where Paul here gives us the real attribute of sonship. Romans 8, verse 14. The real characteristic of sonship. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. My, so we can have many other things inside of our lives, but they're not attributes of being sons and daughters of God. So Paul says, the sons and daughters of God, if they want to know who they are, they're the ones that are led by the Spirit of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you can open up the Holy Word. We can open up and read ancient words. And Father, then we can take the message of this day, and Father, how the message shines light upon those words. And Father, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father, thank you that the things that we read, we know that these things are true. Father, help us, each and every one of us, as you wait upon thee this evening, Lord. Bless each person that has gathered under this roof this night. We do remember the rest of our brothers and sisters, Lord. Father, praying for each and every one, Lord. Father, won't you guide us to, Lord, even as you said, your word would come for a purpose. Let that purpose be achieved upon this night. Father, achieve in us the purpose of your word. Grant us that mercy, we pray. As Father, we dedicate all to you for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Maybe you see that sense. Just on this thought of being led by the Spirit. Romans 8, when it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God. That word, to be led, is an interesting word. It means to lead by taking hold of something to bring it to a destination. So when you're leading something, it's like if you want to go to take your ox and you want to lead your ox and take it to give it water. You know, if you want to go and take your horse and you want to lead your horse and take it to a certain place, there's a definite purpose in this leadership. Same with the leadership of the Holy Ghost. The leadership of the Spirit of God is a definite leadership. Now, if the Holy Ghost is going to lead you, he's got a definite purpose in leading you. He doesn't just come just randomly to, you know, just do this, that, and the other, but he wants to lead the sons and daughters of God. He has a definite purpose in what he's doing. Just on Sunday, we're looking at gifts of the Spirit. You know, the way that the Lord wants to manifest himself in the lives of people. And we saw that these are spiritual gifts. Therefore, they require the work of the Spirit. You know, God always wants to manifest himself. There are so many ways he wants to manifest himself. He loves to manifest himself. And that's the way that he manifests himself. You know, he comes to energize. He comes to quicken. He comes to use gifts in people. He comes to use, you know, different whatever methods he wants. So many different gifts that he puts inside of people. But he wants to manifest himself. He has a purpose. If ever he comes down to anoint you, there's a purpose he wants to anoint you. He doesn't just come to anoint you to make you feel good. No, that's a good thing that when he does anoint you. But there's a purpose. Like when the rain comes down from heaven, it's coming down for a purpose. It's coming down to water. It's coming down to bring forth fruit. It's coming down for a definite purpose. And the same with the leadership of the Lord. The same with his manifestation in the lives of people. Yeah, and these different manifestations, whenever God wants to manifest himself, if the sons and daughters of God are led by the Spirit of God, you've got to find the different offices and ministries and different gifts. They'll be complementing each other. Now they'll be working hand in hand. Like the song leader, he's really led of the Spirit. Like we said on Sunday, he's really waiting on the Lord. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. You'll find his leadership. If the Lord is leading the preacher, that they're going to work somehow together. Because the Spirit that's working upon the one, he's got a definite aim in his leadership. And the Spirit that's working on others also got the same aim. He's trying to achieve a certain purpose. You know, so it's such an important thing. If ever you speak about spiritual gifts, to speak about being led of the Spirit. Because, you know, if you have whatever gift you've got, and you're not led of the Spirit, you're going to do far more harm than you're going to do good. Like the prophet always says, you can get in the way of what God is trying to achieve instead of being able to be the vessel that he uses to achieve what he's trying to achieve. So it's a very, very important principle. And that's why the prophet, we mentioned on Sunday, he says, you have to wait on your ministry. You know, it's such an important thing to wait on your ministry, because any ministry, it needs the operation of the Spirit. It needs the leadership of the Spirit. These are natural things. You know, he says that the prophet in the Message Witnesses from Jeffersonville, 1953, he says, that's the trouble with the church today. He says, you rely upon your own senses and ability instead of taking it to the Lord in prayer. You know, so he's speaking about leadership here. He's speaking about how they did things in the early church, how they did things in the book of Acts. And he says, that's right, today we start to send somebody. You know, so we as a church, we want to do something. Last night we had a deacon's meeting. It was a fine meeting. We do thank the brothers that were involved. It was a very fruitful time. Now, and you always speak about, you know, different programs and different thoughts and purposes. And you try to look to the future and you try to say, how could things be better? You know, maybe this person could do that, or that person could do the other. Or maybe we as a church, we should do this. And it's good to do those things. But in all these things, we need to be led by the Spirit. Because he's the one who knows the way that things should be. Then the prophet takes it from this scripture. Let's read Acts 13 verse 2. Just to see how the early church was led by the Spirit. And obviously that would be our desire. You know, because we don't want to have human program. We don't want to have just our own ideas. No, we've done those things before. It doesn't work. So we really desire, if you're going to do something, the best thing, let's seek his leadership. Let him send his word down concerning that. Because his word will always achieve the purpose to which it was sent. So Acts 13 verse 2, it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Amen. You see, so God had been working in the lives of Barnabas and Paul. There was a need. The church had a certain need to send people to do a certain purpose. And they waited upon the Lord. And the Lord himself came and said, send these men, because I've prepared them to do this work. And it says in the next verse, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So the prophet takes that and says, today we start to send somebody. We get down and have a little council and meet and say, we should do this or go here or do that. But in the Bible, in the days before they sent out the apostles, they met together and fasted and prayed. And the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas. Amen. The Holy Spirit, you notice, not man's opinion, but the Holy Spirit leading and guiding. Amen. And that was the secret of the success of the early church. That's why it's called the Acts of the Apostles. Amen. The prophet says actually the Acts of the Holy Ghost in the Apostles. Amen. That's why they had such great successes. There were people that were so yielded to seek the leadership of the Holy Ghost. They didn't want to just do things because, you know, like when the prophet went to South Africa and there was the ministerial association, they had their human agenda. No, we need to go to Brother Fourie's church in Clarksdorp, yeah? Because we said he could have service in his church. And they've just been in Johannesburg, filled the old railway station with tens of thousands of people. People have come busloads from all over. The Lord's starting to move. They're starting to put the success of the meetings in the newspaper. The medical association has just given the prophet the blessing, you know, saying we really will support these things. This is genuine. And then all of a sudden the ministerial association says, okay, let's go now to Clarksdorp. And Robin says, how big is the church? It seats 300 people or something. And he says, goodness me. We've got 10,000 of people. We've got the blessing of the mayor of the city. We've got the media behind us. We've got people coming from all over. What are you going to do with all these kinds of people? No, we promised Brother Furi we're going to have a meeting in his church. Now, that's the worst thing is when we get ourselves in the way. You know, when we get in the way, we so hinder what God is trying to achieve. This great vision, this great purpose that he has. Now, that is why the greatest thing you and I can seek for is the ability to get ourselves out the way. Now, if we can just get ourselves out the way, the more yielded we can become, he can get his work done. But we the ones who stand in the way. And that's why Nicolaitanism, like we said on Sunday, God says, I hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Amen. It's because you put in human leadership. Instead of the Holy Ghost being the one to lead the church, you've got your own agendas, your own programs. You've got people that are not yielded, are not waiting upon the Lord, aren't seeking his leadership in the things that they do. You know, because God wants to lead his church, but the prophet says he leads them through gifted people. He leads them through the gifts of the Spirit, the fivefold ministry and things like that. You know, so each and every one of these things, whatever we are, we so much need this leadership of his Spirit. We so much need it. And that's why Jesus, he had 100% success rate in everything that he did. Jesus was perfect. He never failed on anything. Because he wouldn't do anything until he saw his Father doing it first. He says, what my Father does, that doeth the Son likewise. And the prophet says he'd wait and see. Then he'd see the vision. He'd see a woman coming to a well. He'd see, you know, the way to Samaria. And Jesus now just being so yielded, not having his own agenda, not having his own plans, not trying to establish anything himself. He just follows the leadership of the Spirit. Because he was the Son of God. And sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And he was the perfect Son of God and he had perfect leadership of the Spirit. And that's why wherever he went, whenever his Father would move him, there was a purpose for that. It was always for a certain purpose. If he feels led, I need to go via Samaria, something's going to happen in Samaria. You know, the rain's going to come down. It's not going to come down and bring forth no fruit. It's going to achieve a purpose. That's when the Father moves on him and he feels it deep and there's a burden. And, you know, his Father speaks to him and says, go here or do this. You know, he goes there to the pool of Bethesda, wherever it was, and there's the man lying on the cot for 38 years. The prophet says the man wasn't going to die. Maybe he had some prostrate trouble or something. And then Jesus just walked all through the people straight to that man. Said, rise and walk. Would you like to walk? He says, I'd like to, but I have no one to put me in the pool when the angel comes down. He says, rise and walk. The man took up his bed and he walked home. Jesus walked straight out of there. Friends, that's a powerful life. That's a powerful life where there's nothing random. There's nothing by chance. There's no hoping this is going to work or hoping that's going to work. Because sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And Jesus was showing the way there. Because he obviously was the Lamb. He kept himself as a lamb so he could be led of the dove. And that's always going to bring a real success because there was a yieldedness. You know, he was just like we said on Sunday, the prophet says the Spirit flowed through him like wind through a building. Now, there was no resistance. We have our human nature. We have our own ideas. We have our carnal understanding. Sometimes when the Holy Ghost wants to flow through, when he wants to work and do something, there's a lot that gets in the way. You know, he has a hard time sometimes maybe fulfilling really what he wants to fulfill. But with Jesus, it was just like wind through a building. There was no resistance. He had such a yielded character. He had such a perfect nature. His desire was one. You know, he just wanted to please his Father. That was his meat and his drink, to do the will of his Father and to finish his work. That's what he said. And that's what Jesus said about it himself. He said in John 5, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Ah, friends, if we could be people like that, who could more, you know, seek that kind of a walk. And without prayer, it's impossible. Without a real prayer for life. Without a real soft walk. Without being real careful in the way that you conduct yourself. It's not possible to do that. Otherwise, you just grieve away the dove. And then it's your own human temperament. It's your own human agenda. Despite your sincerity, that's in control. But with Jesus, he had always, well, as soon as he felt the moving of the Spirit, He had laid aside everything else. Everything else was secondary. It doesn't matter if he didn't eat. Doesn't matter if he had to get on a boat and go into a stormy sea, into danger. Now, when he knew, when there was something drawing him across the sea to the tombs, and there was a legion that Saul was crying out for help, that Jesus just leaves everything else. He leaves the big crowds. He leaves the multitudes. Why? Because the Spirit's leading him. Then he tells his disciples, let's get in the boat. Let's go across. And maybe there were many people saying, but why are you leaving here? And all these kind of things. And he's saying, no, no, no. There's a deep that's ministering to the deep. There's something that's ministering to the deep inside of me. There's something moving me. And I need to follow this leadership and this movement right to the end. Because when the rain comes down from heaven, it's going to achieve a purpose. There's a purpose. Something's going to manifest itself. Something's going to come forth. Redemption is going to be revealed if I can just follow this all the way through to the end. Because when he comes down, when the Spirit of God comes down, he's always going to work the works of redemption. That's his desire. If you and I can follow him fully and not get in the way and frustrate the purpose of God, whenever he comes down, what was the proof of it? The prophets' meetings, the campaigns, whenever he would come down, the pillar of fire, something good was going to take place. Someone was going to get delivered. Someone was going to be healed. Someone's heart was going to be unveiled. The future was going to be made clear. The past was going to be made clear. Whatever it was. But every single time that he came down, there was a purpose. He was coming to manifest himself in some way. He was coming to minister, to heal, to save, to do something. And friends, he hasn't changed. That's how whenever he starts to move down upon us, there's a purpose. Amen. When he starts to draw you to himself, when he says, seek my face, when he wakes you up early in the morning and he puts a burden upon your heart. Now, let's not get our human element in the way of that. Because when he comes down, there's a purpose. Whenever he starts moving in that strange kind of a way, there's a purpose to him doing it. Amen. Remember Brother Howard when he preached, Brother Howard Saul, when he came down and whenever he would trouble the waters, something could take place because the healing virtue was now in the waters. Whenever that angel would come down, something good was going to happen because of the visitation of that angel. And it's the same with us, friends. The most important thing for us, we can seek all these other things, which are wonderful. We're speaking about them on Sunday. Now we can have prophecy and all those kind of things. But without the leadership of the Spirit, the things are never going to be fully fruitful. You know, we can focus on other things and we desire those things. But the greatest thing we can seek, the greatest manifestation is the leadership of the Spirit. That he can lead us as his sons and his daughters because he always has a purpose. And he works on both ends. When he comes down to Peter, and Peter, you know, he's waiting for lunch to be made and he goes up on top of the house there in Joppa. We went to the house when in Israel and he goes up to pray. And he breaks into the Spirit. He breaks into a vision. Now, if he's being going to break into a certain realm that he's going to receive leadership from the angel of the Lord, the same angel's moving somewhere else as well. And that angel's visiting Cornelius. So if the Lord's going to come and start leading Peter and say, Peter, go from here to a certain place called Caesarea or whatever the place was, there's going to be somebody over there that God's preparing for receiving this visitation. It's always like that. So when God starts to move upon your heart, when you're at college, you're at work, wherever you're at home, and you start thinking about your neighbor, and you start thinking about, I'd really like to tell this person about the Lord. Now don't let the human element get in the way. Because if it's a genuine deep, if there's a genuine leadership of the Lord, if he's leading on this end, he's already working on the other end. And the synchronization is going to bring things together. If he's going to come to Philip and say, Philip, leave the big revival here. Go by the road that leads to Damascus, the road that leads to Gaza. He's going to have another man there reading his Bible, not understanding what he's reading, and a hunger's inside of this Ethiopian man. And God's going to lead by his Spirit and bring two things together to bring forth redemption, to bring forth a blessing, to bring forth a testimony, to bring forth something. Whenever he comes to lead you, there's a definite purpose for that. Don't reason it out. Don't try to think too deeply. Now don't try to put your own human understanding into it. If it's the genuine leadership of the Lord, it'll be testified to by the fruits that it brings. There'll be the sweet fruits of redemption, the sweet fruits of Him manifesting Himself, if you'll just continue to follow that leadership the way that Jesus did all the way through. The prophet speaking about Eliezer, he speaks of him, we know, as the model servant in the Bible. And he says, you know, Abraham was hunting for a servant, this is time of decision, to go and find a bride for his son. That's what the father's doing today. You know, so Abraham looked all among his servants because he was trying to find someone, because he had this burden upon his heart, Abraham. And the prophet says, Abraham types God the Father.
Hallelujah.
And he had a desire to say, I'm looking for a servant that will follow me completely. The most obedient servant that I can find, to go and find a bride for my son Isaac. That's what Abraham was looking for. He says, that's what the father's doing today. He's looking over his group to see someone he can put trust in. That'll take the message that he sends to the bride. And he decided Eliezer was this, the selected one. He says, and Eliezer represents the model servant because he did not go until he was sent. He didn't go in his own program. He didn't make up his own understanding. Let me go and do this. Let me go and do that. The prophet says, God's looking for men today that will move when the Spirit moves. Anywhere that He may send, that's a model servant. Now, you don't instigate it yourself, but He comes down. He starts to work somewhere. He comes and moves upon you here. You just feel inside of yourself, there's a deep that moves. My sheep hear my voice. You know there's something that He wants done here. And you just start following that simple leadership. Follow it down the line. Something good's going to take place. Something's going to manifest itself as sure as the world. Because God doesn't send His leadership for nothing. Now, many times we can get our own human understanding in the way. You know, we can get all kinds of feelings and all kind of, you know, impressions, and we think this was the Lord. But like I said, the sons and daughters of God know His voice.
Amen.
You know the leadership of the Lord inside of your own life. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, a stranger they won't follow. So this isn't just getting yourself worked up. If you get yourself worked up, like the sons of Sceva, you know, you'll find out in the end that it wasn't really the leadership of the Lord that was leading you to do that. Because there won't be the sweet fruits that come forth whenever He comes to lead somebody in the correct way. Now, I was just looking at this, the way the prophet speaks about it, and he always speaks about the sweet spirit. You know, to be led of God, God's spirit, when it leads you, it's the sweet spirit of Christ.
Amen.
And the prophet so many times uses that terminology. And I found just certain quotes where he says that. He says, and thy faith has saved. It says, may the Lord bless now. And may you keep in the sweet spirit of prayer until the services are ended. So the dove, when he comes to lead you, you know yourself, it's the sweet spirit of Christ. He's not aggressive. He's not contentious. No, the Holy Ghost isn't like that. The prophet says the Holy Ghost is a gentleman. And that leadership of the dove, it's very easy to miss it. It's very easy. You know, because Satan, when he knows you're being led of the Spirit, he's going to try to bring things in the way as well. Like we were saying in Czech, that when David came on the battlefield that day, the first battle wasn't Goliath, it was with Eliab, his brother. You know, David was had the sweet spirit upon him. He was coming to bring deliverance. He was coming to fulfill his calling. He was led of the Spirit. God was directing his footsteps. And when he came to the battlefield, his brother came to contend with him. Says, you know, I know that you're naughty. You know, I know that you've just come to see the battle and all those. Who did you leave those few sheep with? And David didn't get caught up in those things. He said, is there not a cause? That's all the way, all that he said. Because he knew that this isn't what I'm looking for. He wasn't looking for contention. Paul said, the servant of God should not strive. You see, he says, but with meekness, we should be reasoning with the soul of somebody, lest perhaps God will grant them repentance. It's not an argumentative spirit. That's not the spirit of Christ. That never gets anywhere. The word to contend, to strive, means to try to force somebody to do something. To bring victory by force. You know, the things of the spirit, you can't bring them by force. He's the one who uses his force. But that's the way that it's got to be. So the prophet says that in the Hebrew series, chapter 4, he says, when the people are worshiping, he says, just let yourself loose. Close your eyes. feel the sweet spirit. He says, that's worship. Ah, friends, that's the sweetest thing in your life. When you feel that atmosphere around you and there's that leadership comes down. And you move beyond your natural senses and it's not just you anymore. But there's that atmosphere. There's that sweetness of His Spirit leading you. You go and speak to somebody then. You go and pray then. You go and lead songs then. You go and do whatever it is that you're called to do with that kind of an atmosphere. It's going to achieve something. It's going to do something. He says it again in the faith of Abraham. He says, Abraham looked and he saw three men coming. And he says, them men was just a little different from ordinary men. He says, there's somehow, you know, a mason knows a mason when he speaks to him. Different lodges know by different signs. The Christian does too. There's just something about when you speak to a man and you feel that gentle, sweet spirit, you'll know he's your brother. There's just something about him. Ah, friends, that's where things really become effective. That kind of leadership like that. When you're subdued, you've got yourself surrendered. The greatest battle, you know, you've overcome yourself. The greatest act of overcoming, you got yourself out of the way. You're just following him. You're following his agenda. You're following his leadership. He wants something to be done. Friends, something good's going to come from that. Because the secret is a yielding, the prophet says. It's a yielding to the Spirit. The prophet says it's a getting yourself out of the way. He says the secret is to keep the Spirit on you. Amen. Satan's going to do everything he can to get the Spirit off you, but to keep the Spirit on you. He says when the deep calls to the deep, be very sensitive. You know, it's that kind of a walk. It's going to need a lot of prayer. It's going to need a prayerful kind of a life. Don't allow anything to grieve the Spirit. Why? Because he's trying to lead you somewhere. There's an objective, there's an aim, there's a certain destination that he's trying to lead you to. There's a certain something that he wants to achieve through that visitation that he's bringing forth. So we need to follow it through. Like I said, like Philip, when he followed the leadership, there was a destination. There was a purpose, there was an aim, there was an end to what Christ was trying to do. Because he doesn't send his word down just randomly. When he sends forth his word, when he sends forth the rain of the Spirit, there's a purpose, a definite purpose behind it. And he knows how to synchronize these things together. He knows how to prepare the heart of that person and then move on you to go right to meet up with that person just at the time that he's prepared that person. Because this is his business. This is the Father's business and he knows how to do those kind of things. So friends, when we speak about being in this area, and let's go and start to do some outreach again. And go to these houses and go and visit the shopping center and go and put tracts and speak to people to let people know we're here and to go to reach out. We need to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray much because we need his leadership. We need that definite guidance. We need that something which comes and works in that strange and supernatural way. That he just moves you to go down a certain road. Or just moves you. I remember when Brother Will and I went once to the big motorbike race that year to go and testify to people. And we had went and we were speaking at a certain place. It was almost time for us to go. And instead of us going straight back to where the car was, I said, no, Brother Will, let's go down and they would take that alleyway. It was strange. And Brother Will even said, oh, why do you want to do that? I said, no, bro, let's go. And we went down, we took this little alleyway. Met up with a man, Brother Will, remember when we were in Port Rush and we went, instead of going back to the car this way, we went down and then we took a little alleyway. Amen. Hey, and then this man came up to us, trying to sell us some drugs. My. And we got such a good opportunity to tell that man the ways of salvation. Amen. To warn him of hell and to warn him. And he even said it to us. He said, it's amazing that I met you guys. I was just on my way now to meet people in a certain pub. I think he was going to go and sell them a whole lot of drugs. But it's wonderful, those kind of things, friends. You know, I know you'll have your own testimonies of those things as well. So many times where you wonder. That's what's wonderful if you're led of the Spirit. If you get up in the morning and you're praying and the Lord puts a certain person upon your heart, maybe to contact them, to phone them, to visit them. The Lord wants to lead you to do something. Don't put your business in the way. Don't put your thoughts, don't put your college in the way you work, or no, I need to do this, that, and another. No, 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 no. When the Father's leading, follow his leadership. Amen. And if this genuine leadership, something good is going to take place. He's leading you somewhere. He has a purpose that he's wanting to achieve. The prophet warns us of that here. I think I've got the quote here where the prophet warns, yes. It's in the message, Jesus Christ the Same, Charlotte, 1956. He's in the prayer line. He's standing in front of the people. And the pillar of fire comes down and anoints the prophet. And the prophet now, he cries out and he says, Mister, sitting at the end of the seat. I've read this quote before. He says, do you want to get over that rupture? You think God would heal you of that rupture and make you well? He says, if you believed it, you could receive. It's up to you whether you want to accept it or not.
Hallelujah.
Believe it with all your heart. Then he says, that didn't please the Holy Spirit just right. A man ought to see it. You see, just a moment. You've got to respond to it. He says, it left me. It went to the audience. I called the man and he didn't catch it. He must respond just as soon as he called you.
Amen.
God don't want you lingering. He wants you to answer him.
Amen.
Our friends, there's a serious principle there. When the deep moves on you, respond.
Amen.
If he says, go and speak to that person, just go and speak to them. You know his voice. This isn't some working yourself up. But if you've been prayerful, you yielded to the Lord and he lays someone on your heart, phone that person.
Amen.
Visit that person. No, whatever that it is, pray for that person. Whatever the deep is calling you to do, he never fails.
Amen.
He knows what he's doing. You may not know what's happening on the other end, the other side of the line, but he knows. He knows what he's doing to the Ethiopian eunuch. He knows what's happening at Cornelius' house. He knows those kind of things. And all he wants us to do when he starts to move upon you, don't linger.
Amen.
Don't put anything else in the way.
Amen.
That was the perfect success of Jesus. When he had started to be led of the Spirit, off he'd go. And he'd follow that leadership and his disciples said, but we don't want to go to Samaria. The Samaritans hate us. But he had needs to go through Samaria. Because there was the Father's business. He was preparing a certain woman. When Eliezer followed the leadership of the Spirit, it was a two-way leadership. The same angel that led him to pray at the well at evening time was the same angel that went and worked upon Rebecca and brought her to the well exactly at the time that he prayed. God works on both hands. He knows what he's doing. That's why sons of God need to be led by the Spirit of God. We want to be the model, follow the model servant in the way that he did his, in the way that he operated. Because that really does bring forth these sweet fruits that he wants to bring forth. I remember some years back at a communion service reading this. I just wanted to read it again. Today I thought of it and I went to read it again. It's from the message, Expectation. You know, I so much loved this quote when I first read it the first time. And I just thought how the prophet was just so yielded. You know, and that is why he was so effective. For him to get beyond the curtain of time, yeah? And to say, 2 million souls are waiting me. That's a man that was led by the Spirit.
Amen.
Now, there were times he wasn't. There were times he had to learn obedience by the things that he suffered. There were times he listened to his mother-in-law instead of listening to the Spirit. Time he listened to the ministerial committee instead of listening to the Spirit. And the Lord had to chasten him. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. But he was such a man that was able to get anything else out of the way when he felt that the Lord was leading him to do something. Remember in Memphis that time?
Amen.
You and I would have been thinking about the airplane. You know, when the angel, when he put the letters in the postbox and the angel of the Lord says, turn around, go the other way. And he says, and I looked at my watch. Hey. And I continued walking and he says, and I looked at my watch again and the angel said, just keep on walking. He says, and then I looked and I thought, ooh, the plane's about to leave now. He says, but anyhow, you know, I'll find another way to get home. And he followed that leadership all the way into the colored area of town. Do you think in those days in America it was a wise thing for a white man to go and walk down in the colored area of town? You weren't going to find too many people walking down there who are white. He doesn't worry about that. The Spirit's leading him. There's another time when he comes out of a meeting and he's outside and he's praying for some man. And then there's a certain colored man standing up on a little hill. Yeah. And he's crying, mercy, mercy. You know the story. I'm sure you've heard the testimony.
Amen.
And the man was blind. And then the prophet had bodyguards around him were trying to get him back into the meeting because there were so many people pressing around.
Yeah.
And so he's trying to get himself back in the meeting and these bodyguards are leaving. And then he hears this man crying, mercy, mercy. And he says, And the Lord spoke to me. And he says, and I told the bodyguard, stop. He says, I need to go and I need to minister to that man. And those bodyguards says, this is the South. You can't do those kind of things. You can't leave all of these white people here and go and minister to a black man there on the hill. Said, you'll have a riot here. That's what the boy said. I don't care about what people think. The Father's leading. And he goes up to that man, and there's the man standing with his wife. And when the prophet starts getting near, his wife starts saying, honey, the parson's coming.
Amen.
Ah, says, honey, the parson's coming. And then the blind man, he takes the prophet and says, do you mind if I feel your face? And he feels his face, says, oh, you're younger than I thought. And Brother Branham, then he was, say, 40 years, 41. He says, no, I'm not as young as you think that I am. Then he says, can I tell you my story? He says, you know, my old mama, she had religion like you've got it. She says, she never told me a lie all the days of her life.
Amen.
Said, she's gone on to be with the Lord, but this morning, early in the morning, I was sleeping. I was in the room. Said, I haven't seen anything for years since I went blind. But my mother came as clear as anything and stood by my bed and said, honey, child, said, it's time for you to receive your sight.
Amen.
Go down to whatever Connors or whatever the place was and ask for Parson Branham.
Amen.
He'll pray for you and you'll receive your sight.
Amen.
And the prophet prays for the man and he receives his sight. And his wife says, can you see, honey? He says, them's lights. I can see Parson Branham. It's that leadership of the Lord. He didn't worry about what the law said. He didn't worry about what people thought. You know, my Father worketh, therefore I must work also. I see what the Father's doing and I just have to follow it out and fulfill what he's leading me to do. Now that was the real secret of his success. Now friends, it sounds like such a simple principle, but it's such a deep principle. Now we can learn so many big things, and if we miss this, we miss it all. Because though we can have all knowledge, yeah? Though we can have faith to move mountains, and we don't have this divine love, this leadership, this yieldedness, this being led of the Spirit, we'll never achieve the purpose that we're called to achieve. We'll never do it. We can have all kinds of things. And that's how Paul says, with all of those things they find, but this is the real thing. This is the one that makes the difference. For a person to be able to be so yielded, just to follow that sweet leadership of your Spirit. An expectation, he says, now at Fort Wayne, they found out where the hotel we were in, the Indiana Hotel. You know, so this was about 1947, 48, whenever it was. And he's staying in this hotel. He's down there in Fort Wayne. And so many people are coming to the hotel that the hotel manager had to ask them to leave. So in the end, they got this hotel. They didn't tell anybody where they were. And the prophet couldn't go out of the hotel through the front door. He had to speak to the manager that to take him down through the furnace room and take him out through an alley. So only way he could get out without people seeing him, he had to put his collar up and put a hat on. And then he'd go and get his breakfast and different things like that. Because so many people were pressing in trying to find out where he was. He says, but they'd taken me down, going on to the meetings, we'd go up through the alley. The wife, one of Mayo's nurses that was healed with cancer, she was with us. And they were taking me over for breakfast. I remember speaking once before about the three miracles before breakfast. You know, I said, "My, if you could live that kind of a life, that before breakfast you could have these kind of things happen, my word." He says, so they were taking me over for breakfast. I'd been eating at the little place, Hobbs House. And one morning we were going down, it was the second morning, I had my overcoat pulled up. And I was walking down the street packing my little girl. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit came down. The prophet says, do you believe in being led by the Spirit?
Amen.
And I handed the baby over to the wife. And she said, what's the matter, honey? And I said, the Holy Spirit's leading me.
Amen.
Now, if he's going to come and lead, he's already done work somewhere else.
Amen.
And if he can just get the prophet in contact with the other people that he's been doing the work on, something's going to take place here.
Amen.
So I looked over and a lady, so he says, you know, he went inside of into this restaurant. He says, I felt the angel of the Lord. You've seen the picture. That just came down. And you just do what it says do.
Amen.
Friends, that's simple instructions, but that's not that easy for us as human beings. We're independent people. We have our own mind, our own understanding. We want things to be done like this. No, the song leader must sing this song today. No, this must be preached today. We have all of our own understanding, our own mind. But friends, the most effective thing that we could do is really come in prayer. Each and every one of us, and wait upon the Lord. Because every one of us has a part to play for a service to be successful. The service is never successful if just the minister waits upon his ministry. Every one of us needs to be waiting upon the Lord. Every one of us needs that yieldedness and that expectation. And know that something when the deep moves you. Maybe the Lord wants you to give a testimony. You know, don't lean on your own understanding and say, but I'm not good at standing in front of people. That's got nothing to do with it. You know, if the Lord is moving you and he's saying, I did this, Sister Patience sent me such a nice testimony. She says she had an issue of blood for these last weeks. And she said on Sunday when we had prayer at the end and we said, everybody stand up. It doesn't matter how long that enemy has been against you. Be like Shamgar. Say, enough is enough. She said, that day I said, enough is enough. I said, and the Lord healed her. And I said, that's wonderful. That's a testimony. That's the power of a testimony. Just follow what he says, do. You know, we don't want fanaticism. You'll always find out fanaticism because it brings a confusion in the end. And then you'll find you were leading yourself. You weren't really being led of him. But if you prayed up and you yield and you soft and sweet in your spirit, and then he speaks to you and the deep moves upon you and you can sense in the spiritual realm, something is moving you to do something. Our friends, just follow it through. Don't worry what people think or what people are going to say. The prophet wasn't minding what people are going to think or what people are going to say. The Spirit's leading, he says. And when he comes down, just do what it says do. He says, now I thought we were going to go right straight to Hobbs' house where they were having breakfast. We're about a city block from it. And the Spirit of the Lord says, turn to your left. So the prophet just being simply turns to the left. That's all the secret was. He just turns to the left. And I went down and I just kept on walking. And his wife's following with the baby and the nurse is following as well. And they're all wondering, hey, where are we going to have breakfast? They were following me. And I stopped to a place that said Miller's Cafeteria. And I went down into the basement like where the cafeteria was. And I got some prunes, I believe, and some toast. And was just sitting down to eat. And I heard somebody say, praise the Lord. I love that sense. You'll always have that happen if you follow the Lord. Someone will always end up saying, praise the Lord. Someone will always say, thank God. Someone will always say, he hears prayer. It'll always, because God works on both hands. Here's the man with the gift of deliverance. Here's a son of God who's needing deliverance. So when the Holy Spirit's leading this man with the gift of deliverance down a certain way, there's going to be someone at the end of this leadership who needs deliverance. It's never going to fail. Whatever your gift is, whatever your calling is, it's going to work the same for you. You follow that leadership, it's going to lead you to a destination. It's going to lead you to a specific purpose. And he wants to be glorified in it. And all he wants us to do is follow his leadership. So I heard somebody say, praise the Lord. And I looked over and a lady just raised up. And the tears were running down her cheeks. And Mrs. Morgan, the nurse, said, see, you're caught now. And I said, just a moment. And the lady walked over and she said, Brother Branham, I followed you meeting after meeting. She said, I have a brother here. His heart has broken through the diaphragm. Said, there's nothing that can be done for him. He can't live but a little while longer. Said, we sold all of our goods to follow. We've done everything that we know how to get in the line. We got cards but was never called. And she said, our money's gone and everything. We just couldn't do anything. And said, I prayed all night. And she said, this morning I was kneeling on my knees by the side of the bed in the hotel and I went to sleep. And she said, and I dreamed that I should come here to Miller's Cafeteria at 9 o'clock. Amen. And I looked at my watch. It was just exactly 9 o'clock. Amen. That's his synchronization, friends. Amen. That's how he can move things to bring them together. Amen. Just at the right time. Just the way that he brought you when he had prepared you. Amen. In contact with someone who had the seed of the message to minister the message to you. Amen. Just when he dealt with you and brought conviction of sin inside of your life, he brought somebody there who could come and minister salvation to you, the word of life to you. He knows how to bring the things together. Someone had to be led of the Lord to bring you to where you are. Someone had to be faithful to that simple leadership in order for you to be what you are. So friends, we owe it to other people to seek that same leadership as well and to seek to be faithful to that leadership. The prophet says, do you believe in being led? He says, that's the same Holy Spirit that led Simeon.
Amen.
Isn't it wonderful this evening that you and I can testify? And you look back in your life, look back in your experience, you'll have so many things you can testify and say, that same Holy Ghost that led Simeon led me.
Amen.
The same one. The same Holy Ghost that led Simeon to the Word made flesh in his days. The same Holy Ghost that led you to the Word made flesh in your day. The same Holy Ghost that led him to see the fulfillment of the promise is the same Holy Ghost that led you to see the fulfillment of the promise. And he's still in the business of leading. And the deep that's inside of him wants to stir up the deep that's inside of you. But friends, it needs a laying on the altar. It needs a laying aside. Sin that does so easily beset us. And all those kind of things to say, Lord, I want to be led of you. I want you to be glorified. I want to see you manifest yourself in some way. And he'll do it, friends. He says, that's the same Holy Spirit that led Simeon. The prophet says, this is inside life now. And I said, bring your brother here. Why? In a moment, the Lord had healed him. He was crying and weeping. And he said, I never felt like this since I was a young boy. Friend, that's the end of the leadership. They went out of the building. I sat down to eat, and something just lifted me up. I went out, the wife and them following me. And just as I stepped out of the door, I heard someone saying, oh, thank God. Oh, thank God. And a little woman dressed in black, she knelt down on the street, and she began to cry. And I said, stand up, sister. And she stood up and said, Brother Branham. She was from Chicago. And she said, I've got cancer in the breast. I've tried hard to get you everywhere. She said, but I couldn't do it. And this morning I started to eat and I was crying because I have to go home. And something said, the Spirit of the Lord said, go and stand in front of Miller's cafeteria at 10 minutes after 9. He's precise, friends, in his leadership. He's very precise. There it was. I met her over here in Arkansas the other day, just shouting. It's been weeks ago. Everything has disappeared. It's gone. And I started on down the street. And the wife said, aren't you going to eat? It's like with Jesus when the disciples said, Master, don't you want to eat? And he says, I have meat to eat that you know not of. I found a satisfying portion that's far more satisfying than all of this natural food that you can eat. Friends, to follow his leadership is the most satisfying thing that you'll ever do. There's nothing that'll quench the thirst inside of the soul of a person more than following his leadership and seeing him manifest himself at the end of the journey. Seeing him do something, reveal himself, see something come forth. Sometimes you won't even know that something's come forth. But friends, the rain doesn't come down to heaven and return back to heaven without achieving the purpose to which it was sent. And if he visits you and he stirs you up and he leads you and you're faithful in that leadership, you may not see it in this life, but you'll be surprised in the world to come. You'll see it, friend. Like I showed that message the other day of that brother we hadn't seen from Zimbabwe, that man, he was a Seventh Adventist man. And I hadn't seen him, Brother George and I, for 20 years. And had gone to testify to him at his house. And he said, if you can show me the Sabbath is wrong, I'll come to your church. And we went there and the Lord helped us in the word and we showed him. And he came to church once and then he ran away. We never saw him. And just last month then he texted me to say he got in the message now and he was baptized.
Hallelujah.
And I saw that. I said, Lord, this is really wonderful. Whenever you lead, you may not see the fruits immediately. But that seed, that leadership, that anointing, whatever it is, he's working his purpose. It'll bring forth fruit, friends. It'll bring forth of its own kind. So the prophet says, I started down the street and the wife said, aren't you going to eat? And I said, no, the Spirit of the Lord is leading. You see, he wouldn't put other things in front. He wouldn't say, look, I've got my child here. You know, my wife's here. I've got somebody else walking with me. You know, let's think about them first. Friends, the Father's business is the most important thing. Obviously, you've got to be balanced in the things that you do. We don't want fanaticism here. You know, that somebody neglects their family and their family's got no food in the fridge and you say, I'm being led off the Lord. I don't know if the Lord leads people like that. But the way the prophet did it was the right way. So I went on across the street and I started to go across to the drugstore to get some little coloring books. We had to keep the baby locked up, a little three-year-old girl in the room all day long with us. And then he gives us the key. And so I spend my time in prayer. That's how I know those things, is pray and pray. That's the fruits of a prayer for life. The fruits of a prayer for life is genuine leadership. Is the genuine essence of a son and daughter of God. Because sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And I started across the street, we're finishing off. And something said, stop. And I said, oh my. And I turned around. And the wife said, where are you going? I said, you all go on to the hotel. He's got something else for me to do. And I backed up into the corner to look at some fishing reels. I love to fish and so forth. I backed up there seeing that no one was looking at me. And I turned my head and I said, Father, what would you have me to do? And I stood there. Not just imagining now. I heard a voice say, go to the corner. And I went down to the corner across the street. And I stood there and they were beginning to blow the whistle and the traffic would come across the street. And they walked there with the lights and I stood there for about 10 minutes and just kept standing there. After a while, the whistle blew again and a group of people crossed the street, just as busy as they could be. And I noticed coming behind was a lady with a little checkered dress on. She had on a little Canadian tam, whatever that is. And she was carrying a pocketbook over her arm. And she walked across the street and the Spirit of the Lord said, go near to her. The same Spirit that said to Philip, go near to the chariot. It's exactly the same. And I walked right up to her like that and she passed by looking down and she passed by me. And I thought, that's strange. Maybe God just did something here that I didn't know. The prophet knew he's never going to lead me. He's never going to bring me to somebody and not be a purpose. Amen. So if this lady just walked by and didn't even recognize it, God must have done something. Because the rain doesn't come down and then return to heaven without achieving the purpose. Amen. She walked about 15 feet. Then she turned back and looked at me like that. And she said, oh, Brother Branham. She was beating herself on the chest. Oh, she just began to beat herself. She didn't know what had happened. I said, what's the matter, sister? She said, I'm from Canada. She said, I've spent every penny that I've had. I'm only allowed $150. She says, I've got a withered hand. And she said, I slept in a lobby last night. I had 5 cents for coffee this morning. I was going out here on the road to hitchhike to get back home. A young woman, about 30 years old. She said, and I was going down here about 2 squares, and something said to me, turn this away. So something says to him, go across the street. And something says to her, turn this away. Friends, when those two things come together, the prophecy is when two omnipotents meet, the miraculous is going to happen. When someone's leading here and someone's leading here, and those two things come together, God's going to achieve his purpose. And they came together. She said, something said to me, turn this way. Oh my, there it was. I said, stretch me your hand, sister. And there came her hand. And the big Irish cop was standing over there. He looked and says, I know you, Brother Branham. And here he came running in. My, a group of people. They just had to get a gang to get me away. Everybody around, a healing service. The Lord working. Friends, that was before breakfast. On a single day. Imagine the leadership of the Lord. No, the Bible says concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, it says if all the works that he did could be written down, there wouldn't be enough books in the world. There's just certain highlights that are put inside of the scriptures. But wherever he was led of the Spirit. They'd bring all the sick, they would be healed. He'd go here, he'd go there. Friends, that's a powerful kind of a life. And inside of every believer here, there's a thirst. And every single one of us for that kind of a life. Because that's the kind of life that you're ordained to live. Amen. We're not put on this earth just to get our qualifications. We're not put on here just to get ourselves the natural things of this life. Those things are fine. But friends, when he starts to lead and when he starts to move upon you, let everything else be secondary. Amen. Lay it aside and follow his leadership. And that's how we said on Sunday, spiritual gifts. They're spiritual. This is a spiritual realm that these things work in. So we've got to wait upon him. We've got to be prayerful. We don't want to follow our own imagination. It leads you to embarrassment. You don't want to follow your own feelings because it's never going to manifest itself. But his leadership is perfect. Then his purposes, they still continue. And who knows who's around us here? Who knows who you're working with? Who knows who's living next door to you? Who knows who you're going to meet on the bus tomorrow? I remember giving the testimony of when he went to Brother Jose's wedding there in Donegal. And I was staying with Brother George in the bed and breakfast. And we had the wedding was on the Sunday, I think. And we're in the night before. And Brother George said to me, he said, "Brother, just everything's okay in my life, but I'm feeling like dry in my experience." And I said, "Brother George, if you don't give the Lord the glory, if you don't testify, you get cold and backslidden," the prophet said. I said, "Seek for an opportunity to testify to somebody. Let the living waters flow." And the next day we finished up. The brothers took us to the bus. It's a long journey if you come on the bus from Donegal. It's about 4-something hours on the bus. And we got on the bus. The bus was packed. There were just 3 seats left on the bus. And they were all in the back row of the seats. So Brother George and I, it was strange. He went and sat here. I sat here and there was an empty seat between us. And then just as the bus was pulling off, there came this young Irish guy. And he came and he sat right between us. And I said, "Ah, this is really interesting." And Brother George started to testify to this guy. His name was Johnny, this young guy. My, it was a wonderful time. Amen. By the time he got to Dublin, the young man was saying, "I need to be baptized. Please, I need to be baptized." He phoned us. We met him in town a couple of times during the week. We arranged for the baptism. And then I think what happened, maybe the priest was brought in or whatever. The young man disappeared. But to me, it was a wonderful testimony just to see that when you have a desire and you ask the Lord and you say, "Lord, I want to glorify you. I want to do something." It won't take long until the opportunity is going to come. He's the one that can bring things together. He's the one who knows how to move things. The footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Let's seek him and pray a little bit this evening, saints. Let's pray for this area where we are. Let's pray for his wisdom and his leadership so we can go out and bear witness and be light in this area so that people know who we are. Even if you just go and tell the people who we are and you know what we stand for, down the way when they have someone sick, down the way when they're seeking for salvation, at least they know where to go. Amen. Let's pray that we'll be a lighthouse in this darkness that's here. That many people sailing and heading towards the rocks going to make shipwreck of their life, that God can bring them in. Amen. I saw such a powerful little testimony the other day when I was searching something on the internet, a true story of this one girl. It was in the days of Billy Graham's crusades. You know, and he was broadcasting this crusade on television. And this girl, she had made up her mind she was going to commit suicide. And that demon had been bothering her for days and days and days. And she was sitting on the sofa and she was watching television. And then she threw the remote control down and she had made up her mind she was going to go and end her life. And as she stood up, she stepped on the remote control. And as she stepped on the remote control, it changed the channel. And Billy Graham was preaching. And she stood there. And God brought her to salvation. And I said, "Friends, God is wonderful in what he can do. He can make you step on a remote control just to make sure that you hear the truth. He can stop you right in your tracks." Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Let's seek his face, friends. Come, let's stand. Let's just sing one chorus. Let's come to a time of prayer. Let's seek for his leadership in all the things that we do. Last night at the deacons meeting, we were speaking about the different things we'd like to do with the youth and so forth. Let's really pray about that. We're speaking about this dedication services we're looking to have just before Christmas. Just going to try to finalize the dates before this weekend. Let's pray about that as well. Let's pray about outreach that the Lord may lead us, that the Lord may bring people here. And you pray for the personal leadership of his Spirit inside of your life. Because that's the key to success as a believer. Let's just sing that song, "I Can Hear My Father Calling." Take your cross and follow me. Where he leads me, I will follow. And then let's come to a time of prayer.
My Savior calling, I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross.
I will follow.
bow our heads, saints. I just say one thing, because many times we look at ourselves and say, if only you knew my problems. Yeah? You know, one of the greatest ways to be delivered from your problems
Hallelujah.
Is be about his business.
Amen.
Now, when Job prayed for his friends, then the Lord delivered Job.
Amen.
Job had a lot of sorrow, had a lot of hardship, but when he followed the leadership of the Lord, God ministered to him. What about Paul and Silas? Bloody backs, pain, beaten Amen. With stripes, beaten with rods. But they started to worship the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And then God showed them the reason why they were where they were. And then God brought them a deliverance, not only a deliverance, but then he brought redemption down into the Philippian jail. Our friends, it doesn't matter how you're feeling today. If you put your heart before the Lord and say, Lord, I want to glorify you. Give me an opportunity tomorrow. Lead and guide me, Lord. Give me a chance to glorify your name. Lay aside your own problems for a while and just see what a difference it will make. Remember that man who was summoned by the queen, and the queen said, my good man, he was a big businessman, and said, the queen says, my good man, I want you to go and do some business for me over in France. And the man said, but your majesty, if I go to France, my business will suffer. And she said, my good man, if you take care of my business, I'll take care of yours. And that's how it is with the king. Let's take care of his business first. And friends, if we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto us. Let's seek him in prayer this evening before we go, friends. Let's call upon his name. Let's seek for his leadership. Father, we are bringing ourselves unto thee upon this evening, grateful and thankful, Father, for your mercy, and grateful and thankful for your grace. Just that desire to glorify thy name. Jesus, just to be like you, just to follow your leadership, Lord, just to be led and guided by the Spirit, Lord, just to give and to be the fruit of the Lord.
Let's pray.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, Lord, we bless you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank
Lord.
You, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
The word that, Lord, we have received, Lord Jesus.
Jesus.
For the one thing we know. That every word that, Lord, you have sent,
yes,
Amen.
Never had it returned to you void.
Yes, Lord.
It has always gone
yes,
to
yes,
accomplish the purpose it was given for.
Hallelujah.
It has always gone to, Lord,
Amen.
To fulfill the works that, Lord, you sent for.
Amen.
It has always Amen. Gone to meet the people that, Lord,
yes.
are supposed to receive, oh God.
Hallelujah. Yes,
and Father, one thing we know that, Lord, you have commissioned us
yes.
to preach this gospel of the kingdom
Hallelujah.
Unto
yes,
every
Lord. Yes.
creature. Lord Jesus,
help us, Lord.
Tonight, we want to confess, Lord,
yes, Lord,
that we have allowed, Lord Jesus, the things of the world of God
Amen.
to slow us, Lord.
Amen.
But Father, we thank you, the Lord, your word has come to quicken us this evening, Lord. To bring us to remembrance, Lord Jesus, our duty, O God.
Hallelujah.
So, Lord, tonight, Lord, we say, Lord, here we are, O God.
Amen.
We surrender, Lord.
Yes.
All our human nature, Lord.
Amen.
We surrender, Lord, all what, Father, has been hindrances in our lives, O God.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And Father, we give ourselves now, Lord.
Amen.
The Lord, you use us, you sent us,
yes,
O God.
Lord.
Because we know that even within this community where we are, Lord,
yes,
there are your people, O God.
Yes, Lord.
They are waiting, Lord Jesus, we know, O God.
Yes, Lord.
So, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. As you have brought, Lord, this remembrance, Lord, unto us, we surrender now.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
Father, here we are, Lord Jesus. We want you now, Lord. We want to move now, Father.
Yes, Lord.
And carry your word, O God. So, Lord Jesus, help us, Lord.
Yes.
Help us, O Lord Jesus. And forgive us, Lord, where, Father, we have failed.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes.
And renew us once again,
Hallelujah.
Lord.
Yes, Lord.
That we take up the gospel now, Lord.
Amen.
Because we know your people are there, O God, waiting to receive them, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
So, Father, tonight,
yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
We just want to say thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
The Lord, the Holy Spirit has spoken to us.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, from tonight,
yes,
Lord, we are ready.
Amen. Amen.
Even as Isaiah said, here I am, O Lord,
yes,
send me.
Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Because we know the Lord.
Amen.
There are the people there to receive, O God.
Yes.
So, Father,
yes, Lord,
we thank you for tonight.
Yes, Father, be glorified, we pray.
We glorify you, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Lord Jesus, even tonight as we are living here.
Yes, Lord.
We want to still commit ourselves, Lord, into your hands.
Amen.
We want to move, Lord Jesus,
Amen.
In the footsteps that, Lord, you have ordained for us.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, even in our closest tonight, let Amen. Us ponder Amen. Over this.
Yes, Lord.
And, Father, get ourselves ready, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Father, for the work that is before.
Amen.
Because, Lord, until the last person, O God, receive these words of salvation, Lord,
Hallelujah.
The rapture cannot take place.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, Lord, we are ready to go out now.
Help us, Lord.
We are ready to go out now, Lord Jesus. We are laying behind, O God, all what Father has been,
yes.
or our own personal interests, Lord.
Amen. Yeah.
Oh, Father, let the Holy Spirit now sweep over us.
Yes, Lord.
Sweep over us, Lord. The sweet spirit of God now
Amen.
Speak to us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Come over us now.
Hallelujah.
Inspire us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Quicken us, Lord.
Please, Lord.
And keep us on the path of righteousness.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, we want yes, to move forward
Lord.
Now.
Please, Lord, help us. Father.
We thank you, Lord Jesus, for our pastor, Lord God.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
For using him tonight, O Lord, to bring this remembrance to us.
Amen.
It is our commission, but Lord, we've left it behind.
Oh.
But Lord, Father, we turn now, Lord, to take it up again.
Amen.
Father, let the fire burn now.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, let it be burning our hearts now, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus.
You be glorified, Lord.
We thank you, God. Tonight, Lord, we commit our going back, Lord,
Amen.
To our various homes, Lord, into your hands. And Father, even as you grant us journey mercies, we ask for the same as we are going back, Lord.
Amen.
And even, Father, we pray for all other road users, Lord.
Yes,
we don't
Lord.
Know them, but,
yes,
Father,
Lord, yes,
keep
Lord.
Everyone safe, Lord.
Please, Lord.
And even our brethren who were not here, Lord Jesus, we know you are the one oh, that can touch each and everyone.
Yes, Lord.
Let this same inspiration now begin to burn in each and everyone's
yes, Lord.
Heart, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Lord. The Lord, you called us for a purpose.
Hallelujah.
And that purpose, Lord, we need to accomplish them.
Hallelujah.
Father, we commit all of them into your hands. Our children, Lord, we commit them to your hands, Lord.
Amen.
Father, we pray that even the rest of the days that are before us, Friday and
yes.
Sunday, if Lord, you tarry, O God.
Yes, Lord.
We are still looking, O God, waiting on you, Lord Jesus, to Amen. Hear from you.
Yes.
But Lord Jesus,
help us, Lord.
Once again, we are here, Lord. We surrender to you.
Yes.
That, Father, you use us, O God, for your work.
Amen.
We ask all this, O Lord, in the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, man. God bless, brother. Amen. I was just thinking when the brother was praying, I don't know if the saints know, brother, know what Chuan's were from Zimbabwe. I think Brother Wilmer knows him. He's a real old time man. I remember he used to work in the customs. And I met him once. I was down doing some business in Bulawayo. I met him. And he said to me, he said, brother, you know, this week I really, really got a burden to testify to somebody. He says, I got up in the morning and I prayed and I said, Lord, lead me to one of your bleating sheep, to one of your lost lambs. And he says, and that day the Lord led him to the certain lady, testified to her, and she was a real message believer right up to that time. And I think that kind of a desire and that kind of a prayer is one that the Lord always answers. Let's sing that song, I Bless Your Name, as we pray for the young man.
Prisoner's chain with bleeding strife, O Paul and Silas prayed at night. Oh, and in their pain began to sing. Oh, their chains were loose and they were free. Oh, and they sang, I bless your name. I bless your name. Oh, I give you honor. I give you praise. Oh, you are the light. Oh, the truth, the way. Oh, Lord, I bless your name. I bless your name. Oh, some midnight hour with you shall find. You're in a prison in your mind. Oh, reach out and pray. Oh, defy those chains and they will follow in Jesus' name. Oh, I bless your name.
I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you all. I give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name. So with you, time so hard, reach out and pray to eyes unknown. You will find you're not alone. I bless your name. You are the light, the truth.